Your ass better call somebody.
When you pull back the curtain, look under the hood.
You gotta give it that fuck good. Spent all that night here.
I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm out.
I just came for the boobies.
Hey, what's poppin', everybody?
You're Mr. Feel Good. I'm Mr. Shit on Everyone's Hopes and Dreams.
I want to thank me for believing in me.
Often imitated, never replicated.
It's the balance of life, my friend.
I'd like to take this time to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Don't fuck this up. Count on you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. My apologies, last week I was the reason we didn't have a show because God decided that I should be sick as shit, so I did have to take the week off. I could barely talk. Tuesday night last week I sounded like a seal, not the seal, not the seal who sings sweet love songs, Maddie, a actual animal seal. But Maddie, man, been a week. How you doing, buddy? Man, I missed you. I missed your beautiful face. I get to see you. The podcast folks don't. If you want to see Maddie, check out the South Harmon YouTube page. He's all over it. All over it. But how you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Very excited. You know, Thanksgiving week is a great week. It's a great, great week. Love it. Ooh. Fantastic week. Fun week. Last week, I did miss you. But what I did not know was that you were not truly sick. You were just kissed by a rose.
Oh, I love the reference. I love the reference. You know? Do you know any other seal songs?
I do not.
Me either.
Does he have any?
I don't think so.
It's just one song 12 times on his first LP.
I think it's just Kiss by the Rose, you know.
What a banger, though. What an absolute banger. We'll put that at the end of the show. That's going to be the song at the end of the show. He's British?
He's British.
Who did he marry? Didn't he marry like Sheryl Crow or something?
Heidi Klum at one point.
Oh, dirty dog.
Yeah, dirty dog. Oh, Fly Like an Eagle is a Seal song, you know, from Space Jam.
Oh, isn't that a cover though?
Might be. Might be. I'm just Googling it, man.
That is a good song from Space Jam. That's a low-key banger. Everyone in Space Jam, here's my quick soapbox moment on Space Jam. Everyone loves the Welcome to the Slam. If you want to jam. That's what everyone remembers. But Fly Like the Eagle is actually the moment of the movie. That's the song of the movie. That's when we get full MJ.
Full MJ. You never go full MJ. Oh, you always go full MJ. It's the opposite.
You always go full MJ.
Yeah, he is British. Paddington, London, United Kingdom. Who knew? 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast, just dropping seal nuggets all over the place. Heidi Klum, British, Fly Like an Eagle. Who knew? Who knew?
We are 2.5 minutes into the show, folks.
Woo! Off the rails. People already tuned this one off. We're good.
No, stick around. You come for the stick seal around. Talk, you stay for the dynasty tape.
No, I echo your sentiment. I love Thanksgiving. It might be one of my favorite holidays. One, because I'm fat and I love food. Like, you can eat on just about any holiday, but Thanksgiving's like the one. That's the Super Bowl. It's a championship. Mm-hmm. So, Maddie, let me ask you. Thanksgiving's coming up. People will be listening to this on Wednesday, getting their final prep in for Thanksgiving, however you prep. Are you cooking on Thanksgiving?
No, sorry, Bob.
No cooking for you.
At all. No. None. Not anything. Ooh. Not a dish.
I have a turkey that is in the works already. I started on Sunday. Two-day brine. Whoa. In sweet tea and some spices. I just took it out of the brine today, so it will dry in the fridge because dry skin makes for crispy skin when you cook it in a smoker. Tomorrow I will spray her down with a little duck fat and then rub her up with my favorite barbecue rub. And then Thursday morning early, it will go into the smoker. And 4 hours later, I present to you Mike's masterpiece. 72-hour smoked turkey. We'll see how it rolls.
That is audible pornography right there. That was That was my 50 Shades of Grey Audible edition, was hearing you talk about that turkey. That sounds so. Are you hosting for Thanksgiving?
Yes, my in-laws will be up here. My oldest daughter will be here with her boyfriend. Might as well get his name wrong, just like I do all the time. Preston. His name's actually Parker, but I refuse to call him Parker. I just call him every P name I can think of besides Parker. You know, it's how dads have to work with teenage daughters. You know what Kobe. I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I call him Preston or Philip or Paul. Pookie.
No. We heard about what happens to Pookie. You don't want that.
No Pookie. Okay. No Pookie. I did also tell him anything he does to my daughter, I will do to him. And I mean anything. So if he even thinks about holding her hand, he better hold mine first. If he decides he wants a hug, he knows where I'm at. So shout out to you, Preston. This one's for you. So he'll be up here with my in-laws, which would be great because me and my father-in-law we're very close. And I'm sure we'll fuck with the poor kid quite a bit. And then, that'll just be a small family get-together. We're also going to celebrate my 8-year-old's birthday. She turned 8 last week, but big birthday party with all the family be on Thanksgiving. So she'll have her little princess outfit on. I think she's going to run the whole show. Little does she know, Dad will be the star of the show because of my awesome turkey.
Yeah, baby. That's teach him early that, you know, Dad's still a superstar, you know.
That's a rock star because he makes great food. I don't bake, but I smoke meat.
Pause.
No Diddy. No Diddy. All right, Maddie, let's dive into it. This one's about Dynasty Value pitfalls. This got prompted again, kind of like an episode. Won't shout this one out for personal reasons. But we hear it from multiple sources every single year. Doesn't matter what kind of Dynasty content you tune into. You're liable to probably hear this at some point. We're at peak value projection season for me. And this is something I wanted to talk to you about and get your thoughts on. So, for example, today was buy Devon Vele for a second round rookie pick immediately. You're going to want this guy on your roster. Now, let's just start this off by saying the last 2 weeks of Devon Vele, I think I mentioned it on Sunday recap this week with Adam. I was kind of impressed by like what he has been doing for a guy that I had no expectations for whatsoever. I don't think he was on anybody's real draft radar, even unlike Puka Nacua, which I can shout out D-Bro. Pre-draft process on Puka Nacua was all over him, and even after draft capital was still all over him. I don't think I heard or can pinpoint, put my finger on a single person who was out here standing for Devon Vele. But here we are. Last couple weeks, been pretty impressive. Maddie, let me just ask you on the surface, with what Devon Vele is currently doing, would you be willing to pay a second-round rookie pick for Devon Vele right now?
Absolutely, positively would not be giving up a second for Vele. For me, the Vele conundrum isn't so much the fantasy production. It's the longevity in relativity to the production, if that makes sense. So it's not like you're getting boom weeks in the short term. You're getting mediocre weeks in the short term, which could fade off tremendously next year. So for me, when I'm giving up a second, I want difference makers year of. That's why typically I this isn't across the board, but I think routinely you see in dynasty markets, seconds moved for backs. Because backs, a Devon Vele for a running back is worth a second. Right? A guy that's going to give you double digits, a guy you could weekly play, that guy's worth a second. Receiver, I've just seen it too many times where a mediocre hot streak is misconstrued for a splash week, a flash week, whatever you want to call it, spike weeks. And then they typically fizzle off and then it's not even worth a fourth. That player is not worth a fourth in the offseason. And with Vele, older prospect, so he's going to reach his ceiling earlier. That's what works with these prospects. 26 years old right now, still only a rookie.
Say that again.
26 years old in his rookie season.
That man was in college for 8 years.
That's right.
Is he Van Wilder?
He's Bert Kreischer at the very least. He's Bert Kreischer.
He's the machine.
Devon Vele, the machine. We got a nickname now. Hey, he's worth a third now because he's got a good nickname. We just dubbed him.
I might pay a second now that he's nicknamed the machine. just for the vibes. You know what I mean?
And then I want to ask you this. Most dynasty markets right now, you can move a second for Devon Vele. You could probably move a second for Courtland Sutton. Aren't you taking Sutton?
That's the thing that makes me angry. It makes me angry.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just with Vela. I don't want to pick on him. Last year, about this time, we heard kind of the same thing for Dontavian Wicks. Mm-hmm. Then we heard it again for Dontavian Wicks early part of the season. Chase the target share. That one is still yet to pay off, really. I think Adam and I talked about Wicks quite a bit last year relative because of so many best ball leagues. I thought he was fantastic. Him and I were heavily exposed to Dontavian Wicks because he was fucking free when we got him. You know what I mean? Picked him up off waivers, excited about his production, but I don't think anybody really that tuned in to South Harmon was like, man, Adam and Mike are the reason I'm going out and trading for Dontavian Wicks. It was like, found money when he had it. But we kind of see these kind of players almost every single year, Maddie, where people want to trade for the perceived long-term upside. Isaiah Hodgins, there's another one. Remember that end of the season he had there? It was playoff run and go get Isaiah Hodgins. Most of these guys never work out. Like, I'm having a hard time like figuring one who was like, damn, really worked out. Either you broke out as a rookie and you smashed through this like pay a second price for him, or you never really did it. And it feels like we're always trying to chase these types, like this could be the big thing in 2025. My biggest issue with it, and you kind of touched on this right now, say it's a late second because I'm contending. Why am I paying that for a guy that I may or may not start for the rest of the year in a lineup league? Why? Mm-hmm. I'm probably, most likely, never going to be able to confidently every single week go like, got to start Devon Vele. I got to get his 12-point ceiling into my lineup somehow as it currently stands. So like you said, if that's the price or if I'm looking to push that second in to help my contending team, I'm only really caring about, and people have heard this on one of the first podcasts you and I did together talking about contending moves in Dynasty. I'm looking at 2025 or 2024 going like, this is my window. I don't give a shit about any type of perceived long-term Dynasty value. I care about winning a championship. So if I'm going to push that pick in, why not Courtland Sutton?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not somebody who's producing at a level even better? And the cost is damn near the same. And I was trying to find on Keep Trade Cut, which is going to be tough, where Devon Vele is currently ranked and how many players, I was going to ask you, we would take over him on a contending team for this late second price tag right now. Holy shit, man. This is going to be a search because this dude is down here a ways. This podcast advocating for him paying a second for him way out on the limb. Wide receiver 85, Maddie. 85. Now I can say it's up. It's up quite a bit for where it was in the preseason. So his 1 year positional rank was wide receiver 220 for a low. So doing pretty good. 140 spot rise. good job, Devon. But let's look at it. Wide receiver 85. Would you rather have him on a contending team for the price of a late second or Tyler Lockett rest of the season?
I think that if I had to pick between the two, I'm probably going to go Vele there. I would go Vele there.
No T. Lockett, huh?
No T. Lockett. I think JSN's here. He's fully arrived, and we've seen it kind of just be the end of Lockett. And Lockett's older.
Kind of interested to see what Tyler Lockett's been doing the last couple of weeks. Haven't really been paid attention. Most of the shares I have are on best ball leagues too. So, you know, you kind of forget about them as long as they're just not dead. Come on, baby. Load up Tyler Lockett. Let's go.
Seven fantasy points last week. Good, not great.
Yeah. His last good game came in week 9. He had 15 points. He had a Devon Vele game.
Right.
Last 2 weeks, 3.9 and 4. Not good. Three targets.
It's tough. JSN's exploded.
Okay, that's fair. I'll give you that one. I didn't, and off the top of my head, I would have said Lockett, but I think looking at it now, you're probably not wrong. Yeah. Might as well go Vele in that situation.
But that's not a big. That's a very, very small obstacle in the way of a second. I wouldn't give up a 26 second for Lockett. You know what I mean? So I think we're just shooting low.
Keenan Allen.
Give me Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen 25 points last week. Vele has never had 25 points.
Ever.
Right. Period. Probably ever. Even in college. He didn't have a 25 point game in college.
Antoine Pierce. I gotta call him Antoine, man. He's moving ball down the field.
I'm not giving up a second for Pierce, but I would rather have Pierce. At least he's a spike week, true to form spike week guy.
If it was a lineup league, would it make a difference?
It would make a difference. I'd still take Pierce.
Your odds of starting either one probably aren't good, right?
No, absolutely not.
Feel good about it. Okay. That kind of feels more appropriate. D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins, old crusty, slow D-Hop. Yep. Hopkins, with you on that one. Bateman?
I think Bateman is safer. He at least has draft capital, and he's, again, true to form spike week guy. He could have 240-yard touchdowns on Monday Night Football, end up having one. It feels like that's not in the Vele form of things.
Jacoby Myers,
it's not even close.
Romeo Doubs.
I think Romeo Doubs has higher ceilings, and I think his floor is almost the same. I mean, Vele, we're really just talking through these last 3 weeks, double digits. That's kind of where it's been.
DeMario Douglas.
Pop Douglas. Definitely Pop Douglas.
I think but he's got to do something for me.
But he, I watch a lot of the Patriots games closely, obviously being a Patriots fan, and he at least you can see a path to where this guy is a good volume, strong, consistent volume type guy.
He really feels like he's going to be a really good number two or number three out of the slot when they fix the rest of their weapons, right?
Right, right.
Kind of feels like that's kind of his trajectory, which would be nice because him trying to be the number one has not been good, mm-hmm. not been disappointing. How about another rookie? And we really haven't seen anything from this guy either, but talking about it, one in Vele produced for the last 3 weeks, one who really hasn't done anything all season, except for maybe one game, Jalen McMillan.
I think if I'm a contender, I'd rather have Vele there.
Would. Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather if contender. Now, if we're talking just blanket dynasty value, I think I would still lean McMillan. I think his upside's still there. I think the draft capital supports it. It just if I'm looking for points starting in week 13, then I'm going to probably go Vele.
Quentin Johnston?
Fuck Quentin Johnston. Fuck Quentin Johnston. In my family league, I played him this week over Jordan Addison, and I lost by 6 points, and that guy had 6 drops. Fuck Quentin Johnston.
So never quit Johnston.
Never Quentin Johnston. Never.
Another guy we haven't ever seen anything out of yet. Adonai Mitchell.
This is the name I thought you were going to bring up when you said another rookie. I have been buying A.D. Mitchell shares. It doesn't look good, but I think for me, the corollary that I'll kind of chase here is the Khalil Shakir type move, where Shakir was in this boat, and he could be the type of player that actually finds success in this type of pitfall. But the thing was, you weren't giving up a second. You were giving up thirds. You were getting him for free. And that's kind of where A.D. Mitchell is. I just got him in a league for a third. And I'll throw darts at that type of player because I still like the player. I mean, you watch him out there. Sometimes, and I know this sucks for the data-driven community. I know there's some, in the fantasy football industry, there are numbers, and that's what's driven. But when you watch A.D. Mitchell, he looks like somebody who's going to be good at football.
Christian Watson,
because at least he's, again, a true-to-form spike week guy.
Jerry Jeudy,
now it's not close. Jerry Judy's floor seems to be Vele's ceiling.
Juwan Jennings.
Again, if I'm contending, I'm going to go Jennings. I think Jennings is a similar player with a higher ceiling.
And last one I'll give you, gross. Cedric Tillman.
I love Cedric Tillman. I'm taking Cedric Tillman. Even after the bad Thursday night, I would still probably send a playoff second for Tillman.
Yeah, I'm with you because you've actually seen it to an extent. And crazy thing, Cedric Tillman's a lot younger than
he is. Crazy. All
right, but Cedric Tillman's a perfect example, right? There were some fans coming out of college, a C-Till. I was a fan of C-Till coming out of college. Kind of did nothing of real substance, fell off the map. And then even now when he had the opportunity and he's produced with his opportunity at a young age, his dynasty cost is what people are advocating for Devon Vele, who's done almost nothing up to this point. He's had three games. The price is the same. This is the biggest issue I have with it when we're talking about it. And Cedric Tillman highlights that. It's why? Why in the fuck would I go and pay absolute peak price when Cedric Tillman was out here dropping 20 burgers on people's heads? Right? His price right now, even after that down game, is still like, do I pay a second for Cedric Tillman, Mike? I don't know. It's in the ballpark. Sure, if you really believe it and you're contender, go for it. Like, why not? Fuck it. You know, there's other options I would feel better about with longer term dynasty value or better profiles or bigger name cachet that are a little bit more insulated. But this is where we're at with Cedric Tillman. How the fuck did we get here already with the Devon Vele? Like, what has he done to even be mentioned in the same podcast that we're talking about Cedric Tillman? Think about that. Like, not that Cedric Tillman is some awesome thing, but this is the level we're getting to. Vele is definitely not at the Tillman level, right? Like, I'm not fucking crazy, am I?
Not at all. I also wonder, what's the mindset of the person who rosters Vele, who sees a second in his inbox? He must immediately be like, what? I wouldn't even have asked for this. So, yes, I will take this.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The Devon Vele thing, to me, it just, sometimes this happens and we can't help ourselves where the NFL kind of sways our fantasy judgment. And right now, I think that's kind of happening with the Broncos because of how well they're playing, how good Bo Nix is. I mean, just this past week, Bo Nix is now going to be the offensive rookie of the year. Would you rather have Bo Nix or Caleb Williams? Would you rather have Bo Nix or Jaden Daniels? And all of a sudden, the winds that's propelling the Broncos in such a ferocious fashion is now you're getting wafts of that with, like, everyone. I mean, 2 weeks ago, remember, it was get Estime. Well, no, Estime's put back in the bag the last 2 weeks. Go get Troy Franklin. Remember that long touchdown 2 weeks ago? No, well, Troy Franklin went back in the bag. And now it's Devon Vele. Devon Vele's been solid. And what I would say to the listeners now that maybe was contemplating a second for Devon Vele, maybe was approached after, you know, seeing the podcast that we're not going to name or hearing the podcast we're not going to name. How would you have felt if you traded for Alan Lazard in 2022? If you would have given up a second for Alan Lazard in 2022, you would have been caught with your schmens in your hands. Use that as a lesson for them. Use that as your kind of North Star here. Because in 2022, you know, he was a 13-ish fantasy point per game guy with Aaron Rodgers. He was his number two. You got to get him. And then following year, 9 fantasy points and injured. This year, injured. And you're caught again without much. Devon Vele seems like that type of player where I don't think we're ever going to get more than this.
I can believe it. Now, that's just, we're just talking about wide receiver for wide receiver. But if you factor running backs in, you know, which you should be as a contender, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot more opportunities I can think of to buy a running back for a late-ish second, a playoff second, I could definitely envision having to spot start here these next coming weeks. Like, really? Like, oh man, glad I had this dude on my bench. Into the lineup you go, buddy. You're in. But I don't know what the situation is with Austin Eckler's concussion thing, but he's RB49 on Keep Trade Cut and producing when he gets the opportunity. Would you speculatively buy on Austin Eckler with even the concussion risk? I mean, it was pretty nasty to see him go down like he did there, but would you rather have Austin Eckler for the rest of the season on contender or Vele for the same price?
Austin Eckler, for sure. I don't think pitfalls really exist for running backs because I think we're all just willing to jump in the pit. You know what I mean? Like, we're just willing to just sacrifice. Like, let me paint the picture here, and this is going to sound crazy to the value-driven dynasty players, but the ones that have their pedal to the metal, they're trying to win now. You see Alexander Mattison put on IR tomorrow morning, I'd rather have Ameer Abdullah than Devon Bailey.
Got it. Nailed it. That was going to be one on the list because he's way the hell down there. I love it. Let me give you some other shitty, crusty ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rico Dowdle.
Rico all day. Look at that playoff schedule. And he's getting the volume.
Tyler Allgeier. Backup running back.
I'd go Tyler Allgeier because if there's an injury, he's a dominator. And if he's not, he's right around Devon Bailey's point per game output.
One of our favorites from back in the day. Roschon Johnson.
Roschon. 5 rushing touchdowns now, baby. It's Roschon because the touchdown puts him in Devon Bailey range, but an injury propels him to a weekly starter.
Gotcha. How about one who's not really getting work, rookie this year, though? Blake Corum or Vela. Rest of the season on a contender for the price tag of a late second.
I'm going to have to caveat this one. I'm sorry, everybody. Caveats suck. But if I knew Vele was this is a 3-flex league, 3-wide receiver, 2-flex league. If I knew Vele was going to be in my week lineup, I'd go Vele. But if I'm just trying to buy into something that's going to skyrocket in price and play that game on a contender, and I know it's late in the season, that's tough to do. Let's rewind if it was like week 6. There's a lot of caveats here, Mike. I'm sorry. But for me, if I'm contending and I know I need a starter, it's Vele. But if I'm just trying to speculate on a value that's down that I'm hoping goes up, it Corum's, again, just an injury away from someone in your league looking at you with serious face saying, give me your playoff first. And you might go, okay.
Okay. Have to do it. I'm with you. I'd rather shoot my shot. And this is going to apply to Jalen Wright. This would apply to Audric Estime. If the Broncos can ever figure out what the fuck they're doing at the running back, they tell us one thing, then they do the other, and then what they did last week is not really going to work for what they want to do this week, and nobody's going to get the rock and fuck them all. We hate all our running backs. But this is the kind of thing, at least if I'm going to speculatively buy. Because I'm not saying Vele's junk. I'm surprised by it. Mm-hmm. But I think your Alan Lazard comp, and that was with Aaron Rodgers. That was with their prime Aaron Rodgers, by the way. Not washed up crazy Aaron Rodgers. That was with prime Aaron Rodgers. That Vele feels like a ceiling play of like 12, 13 fantasy points per game, which is fine. But I would imagine that most people on their contending teams, if you got to this point as a contender, a legitimate dynasty contender, you got 5 or 6 guys better than that at the wide receiver position that you're starting, right? And the way the running backs have been playing, you know, you talk about flex spots, you're probably playing a running back in the flex where you're like, I know what this dude's workload is. It's 15 touches, and he's definitely getting me at least 12 or 13 points on a down week. And if he gets touchdown lucky, I might be 18 or 20. Right? Like, I could have that kind of week. So I'm always going to lean as a contender here to more of the speculative running back buys because, to your point, Maddie, if Kyren Williams went down here in this playoff stretch, Blake Corum goes from, hey, I was able to buy him a few weeks ago for a late second. People were like, that's an overpay. You know, I would have rather had Devon Vele to bend over.
Yeah.
Bend over. Spread them cheeks. By the way, I got a great dad joke for you.
I love it.
I don't remember where the fuck I heard this one. Oh, it was on Fantasy Football Now. Fantasy Football Now, this last, the morning show on Sunday. Yep. Shout out to those guys. Is butt cheeks one word, or do I need to spread them apart? I thought that was great. That was one of the best ones. One of the best ones. Another dad joke for you since it's turkey one. Honorary dad joke since it's turkey week. Which side of the turkey has more feathers, Maddie? The outside. Yeah. All right, back to the normally scheduled dog shit show.
I wrote both of these down because my family will hear them both over the next 2 days.
My man, my man. I'm gonna lean into these kind of tiers of running backs. Charbonnet maybe can still be had for that price. Jalen Warren maybe. Nick Chubb maybe. Ray Davis or Vele.
Ray Davis. We had the question on the hurdle Tuesday nights here at South Harmon YouTube channel. Check that out.
Great plug.
We had a question, better stash, Roschon or Ray Davis? And I'd rather have Ray Davis as a stash. I would take Roschon over Vele, so I'm going to take Ray Davis over Vele as well.
What about Kamani Vidal? Back in the news cycle now, since J.K. Dobbins is just cursed. I don't know what happened, like who he pissed off.
The fact that this is razor thin is the exact point. Vidal's been active 2 weeks, and it's close. But, I mean, if Dobbins is out, Vidal looks pretty damn good. Give me Vidal.
Vidal it is. I love it. Let me give you some shitty tight ends, right, since we're I love the A-Warp tight end life. I don't know if you've embraced it. Jonnu Smith or that late second?
Jonnu Smith.
There you go, man.
Jonnu Smith.
You know he doesn't cost much more than that.
Like, no. And he's putting up like 25 fantasy points a week and
killing it.
Yeah, and it just, if you're going to play the tight end roulette and play that A-Warp game, I would rather have that than Vele. His spike weeks are better.
Hunter Henry or Vele?
I would go Henry because, again, this position is one position. I don't need to get Vele. I could probably pick up MVS on the waiver wire.
Let's go super down here. Super A-Warp tight end life. I love this guy, too. Will Disley. Will fucking Disley.
If you need a tight end, if you've been playing the game, he's been pretty damn effective. He's been as productive as Vele in terms of the weeks he's put on, but he's been more valuable for this position.
And let's not forget, most of us, normal people, no offense to you who don't, play in super flex leagues, Maddie. Mm-hmm. Quarterback injuries can derail even the best playoff contenders. So let's throw a few quarterbacks in here, or Devon Vele for a second. And I'm trying to keep them realistic. Let's start. Let's scroll down. Let's start down here. Drew Lock, or that random second, that late second.
You got to go Drew Lock with the upside. If Drew Lock starts for a month, that dude's gonna sling it with neighbors. They got a good schedule for scoring points.
What's up, Drew Lock?
Okay, this is where I'm gonna lay this just out here because I think name wise, people are screaming into their headphones right now, just hearing names. But what I would say this is, when you're trading a pick, don't you want to at least have some feeling that you could get some return on investment if you want to then flip in the offseason? And Drew Lock is not going to get you a second in the offseason. But isn't there a more realistic possibility that Drew Lock gets you something in the offseason as opposed to Vele? Vele is buying a one-way ticket to a roster clogger or a flex at best.
There you go. You said the magic words, roster clogger or flex at best. I love it. Danny Dimes or that late second.
I would rather go with Vele there. I think Danny Dimes will have his resurgence when he's someone's backup, that guy gets hurt, and he goes on a Linsanity type run. I don't know when that is, so give me the points on the up front. Give me the Bailey.
Let me. There's a country song like this. It's called "Paint Me a Birmingham." I'm gonna paint you a Birmingham. Danny Dimes signs this week with the Las Vegas Raiders, who just lost Gardner Minshew, and their current starting quarterback is about to be Desmond Ridder.
I'm gonna go Bailey. It's gonna be a train wreck. That would be a train wreck for Jones. Bad. I don't think he'd be able to play better than Ridder.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Rodgers.
Rodgers.
Rodgers is still decent. When Rodgers plays, he's still like a decent super flex option.
Famous Jameis.
Oh, Famous Jameis, baby. They let him throw the ball freaking 50 times a game. If I need a super flex? I'm going Derek Carr. I'm going Derek Carr. Give me those 15 fantasy points at a super flex position as opposed to 10 points in a flex position.
Now we'll test you. Justin Fields.
This is the apply the logic that I said about Corum to Fields. If I need someone in the lineup now, give me Vailey. If I am playing the value, you know, buying low, selling high game, I would rather go Fields.
We didn't disagree on very many, Maddie. That's kind of why we're in lockstep on this one. I love it. But
yeah,
there's a list. Again, I just want to highlight, this is part of the reason why I think trading a second for Devon Vele as a contender is so fucking absurd. Mm-hmm. Because we just went through a massive list of different positions and league formats, the whole fucking works, where there's a billion players out there that you should be actively trying to get on your contending teams outside of. So let's flip to the other side, and this will be a much shorter discussion. If you're a rebuilder and you happen to have a mid to late second burning a hole in your pocket, are you trading it for Devon Vele, knowing that you don't need the production now, and are you trying to bank on the upside? And if it is the upside, what is it? What is our realistic upside here with Devon Vele?
I'm not. If I'm rebuilding, there's no way I'm moving, getting Vele for a second, because the second's going to maintain value. The second's going to let you remain liquid, where Vele is two Troy Franklin weeks away from seeing his value dump off. I mean, this is why the second for Vele is so risky, is that his own situation this year could see a tremendous dump in short order, let alone in the offseason if they draft a Luther Burden in the first round, let alone if they just bring in anybody. I feel like, you know, were you excited to trade a second for Travis Fulgham? Were you excited to trade a second for those type of players throughout the years, these guys that flash? And the thing about Vele that I find so perplexing, and you've seen it over the last few weeks, just the love for Vele is what? It's not like he has he had two catches, but they went for 112 yards and a touchdown. No, that's been Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. There's no love for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is only a year older than Devon Vele.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
I don't know. It's like, I don't want Alec Pierce. He only had two catches. Yeah, but they went for 140 and two touchdowns. But I want that three catches, 66 yards. Why? I don't know. Why? I just feel like if you picked him up in waivers, it's like you said earlier, it's free money. It's good to have. I have a ton of Devon Vele shares, none of which I had to trade for. Not a single one.
From a dynasty value aspect, is Devon Vele long-term, do you think, if you had to put money on it, let's just say this, dynasty value-wise, is he going to be worth more than Troy Franklin, his teammate?
Maybe. But that's really just saying how low Troy Franklin's value's been.
It's been pretty bad, right? What about his other teammate from a couple of years ago, Marvin Mims?
See, I think Marvin Mims is being utilized, and I think people like Marvin Mims. I think people see a path to relevancy, and there's a precedent for this type of receiver to take time and emerge in a Sean Payton offense. You know, if you ask me who I'd rather have at cost, give me Mims for the free 99 as opposed to any kind of DC for Vele right now.
Let's talk about late-ish seconds. Jalen Polk, your New England Patriot legend. Or Vele, long-term. Like, which would you rather invest in if you had to? Gun to the head said, Maddie, you got to pick one of these. You got to project them out. You know, I get dark here. You and your whole family is going to die next year if you pick wrong.
Oh, Thanksgiving, Mike?
Next year by Thanksgiving.
Shit.
We have a purge.
It's Jalen Polk.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Jalen Polk has years to grow. He's in an offense that can grow. You perceive peak Vele. I mean, this is peak Devon Vele.
I think we're seeing the best. I think I'm with you on that one. I think we're seeing the best. I'm looking back at rookie ADP in the offseason, May to June. 209, Jalen Polk. 210, Ben Sinnott. 211, Troy Franklin. 212, Jalen Wright. I would say none of those guys have actually popped, done anything. None. Nothing, right? Vele up to this point has done more. I think we'd definitely say that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you imagine if Jalen Polk had 3 weeks in a row of double-digit fantasy points? We told you.
Oh, yeah.
We told you. I think the problem is he's starting so low. This is five rounds of ADP, and his name ain't on this list.
Right.
Nobody was drafted. But here's the thing I want to touch on about why just trading away rookie picks so willy-nilly on probably what is a cap ceiling and doesn't have a ton of upside. The minute you trade away that rookie pick for Devon Vele, you inherit all the risk of Devon Vele. If he turns back into a turd burger, a pumpkin, mm-hmm. if he gets hurt, if he gets suspended, whatever, you inherit all that risk. You don't have any risk of that draft pick until you actually have to make the selection. Right, that's which right. is months and months away. Like that's free money that you get to hold on to. It's like the IRS when they take taxes out and they take too much and they get to hold on to it all year without paying you any interest. Then at the end of the year, they're like, oh, by the way, sorry, here's your money back.
Yep.
Do I get anything extra because you didn't give it? No, you don't get shit. Fuck
and
off,
if
kid.
If you pay a quarter less than you're owed, you go to jail.
You go to jail, yes. I love the system. What a great system. But another thing I want to highlight is look at all these massive fucking hits that we had that went after the second round. So if there was a guy you're more in, Bucky Irving, smashing, 309. Ray Davis, 312. We talked about him. Braylon Allen early in the season, smashing, 402. Tyrone Tracy.
That's the
as
one.
Long as he stops fumbling the fucking football, Tyrone, please. Yep. Do not give this job back. Please do not. God. 405. Theo Johnson has been a nice surprise. 407. Eric All now out for the year, unfortunately, but was a nice value bump and starting to go places there for a little bit. Was 410. That's pretty much it. Cade Stover had a touchdown this last week, so he was a 501. Wow. Cade Stover, 501. You got options. You got options. You're pigeonholing yourself and you're hitching your wagon to Devon Vele right now with months to go as a rebuilder. So as much as we may say there's maybe a caveat on the contending side with some of the players I listed off, Maddie, and you could see a situation where if you had to, your league dynamics, league market, inactivity of your league, this mm-hmm. was the best you could do. We wouldn't crush you for it. You do this as a rebuilder. You deserve to die an unhappy, painful death of dynasty in the
rotten
dynasty pitfall.
Fantasy jail, just like yes. if you short the IRS.
Go. Do not pass go. Do not collect $10. Absolutely, I don't see any scenario on a rebuilder where I would ever even consider this. And if I was anybody else in the league, I'm even if I'm a contender right now, Maddie, and you offer me a second for my Devon Vele, adios. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that second. I'm going to go see what else I can shop at the other stores and see what their prices are and see if I can find one of those other players that I think you and I both thought were gigantic smashes.
And I also would, we got to preach this too, is even if you're contending, doesn't mean you have to sell everything for this year. You still have to have it make sense. And I want people to remember this. What kind of players, what kind of receivers were drafted around, you know, the draft season, the rookie draft season, the beginning of the season, you know, late August? Could you get Darnell Mooney for a second? You could.
Mm-hmm.
Could you have gotten Courtland Sutton for a second? You could. And these guys are, you know, smashes right now. No doubt seconds if I'm a contender. And so I would just don't get so short-sighted if you're contending. It still has to make sense. And Devon Vele, for a second, in any circumstance, doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, the old saying, you know, if it makes dollars, it makes sense.
Makes dollars.
I don't think Devon Vele is making you a lot of dollars. I just, no offense to this guy. No offense to this guy.
No, I think it, like I like what he's done. And, you know, I'm not going to say I was touting Devon Bailey, but he was on my radar because of early reports from him
out of camp,
excelling out of camp. Wasn't using any rookie picks, but was early to pick him up because of those reports. So I'm not going to sit here and victory lap Devon Bailey love. I just thought that it was a good play. But again, 26 years old as a rookie is going to allow you to start closer to your ceiling than the 20 and 21 year old kids.
Here's
the brass tacks.
Here's the crazy thing, man. Imagine it's Josh Reynolds right now, who's putting up 10, 11, 12 points a week for the last couple of weeks. Is anybody in their right fucking mind going out and say, trade a second for Josh Reynolds immediately?
No.
And he's only a couple years older than Devon Bailey, but right, just because Bailey's got that R next to his name.
You're right.
Right? Like, there's a, I think that's probably the biggest dynasty pitfall where it's like, oh, he's a rookie, so the progression's just going to be fucking linear, bro. Like, it's, if he's at 12 points now in 2025, he's going to be at 15 or 6. No. That's not how it works. We also see that progression's not fucking linear. It's a roller coaster sometimes. If you told me at this time, in Jahan Dotson's rookie year, that Jahan Dotson probably wouldn't even be worth a fourth round pick right now, I would have told you, you're fucking crazy, bro. Look at him. He's young. He's smashing. He's going to be a featured piece of this fucking offense for years to come. He ain't even on the goddamn Commanders no more. He's on the Eagles getting blown up every time he tries to run block, or he's running the same fucking route as AJ Brown, wrongfully so, in the same area where Jalen Hurts has to go, God damn it, I got to run this football. Like, if Jalen Hurts had a mic and he wasn't such a nice guy, I'm sure you'd get that Peyton Manning like audio clip. Damn it, Donald. That's Jahan Dotson right now. So, I fucking hate this. I hate this. This, like, man, we got to project this guy out. You don't know. There's a lot of guys that I think, man, this time next year we could look back and be like, wow, they really did improve. But here's the crazy thing. We talked about it with Cedric Tillman. The price is probably still fucking the same as it is.
It's going to be the same, people.
It's not going to be that crazy. I really, truly believe Matty in Dynasty. If you're a young player and you produce out the gate, you smash through reasonable value. And now if people want to buy you, you got to pay the iron price, and they're not going to let you go. Or you hover in this area where it's like, I got to do this projecting. When I get to the rookie draft with that draft pick, I'm doing the same type of fucking projection. Right. I really am. But there's no risk tied to it for months. So why would I do it now? Why? What is the point? A lot of this, man, if Devon Bailey's name was Josh Reynolds, it wouldn't be a conversation. You'd be like, well, ho-hum, Josh Reynolds had double-digit fantasy points this week. And you and I might throw him on, like, a warp buys list. Like, hey, in your deep best ball leagues, you know, check out, you know, Josh Reynolds. You probably get him as a toss-it, or, you know, toss a third or a fourth-round pick at him, or whatever it is. Go get you Josh Reynolds. But because this guy's got an R next to his name, and apparently nobody went and checked the age, too, and you're like, 27. You fucking kidding me? 27?
Yeah.
You got to be fucking, what? But because he's got the R next to his name, it's like, we treat him like this is a, you know,
it's
20-year-old Juju Smith-Schuster fucking putting up double-digit fantasy points. Like, you got to get it. You know, when he's 21 next year and can drink, he's really going to smash. I don't understand where the sex appeal is coming from.
Devon Bailey could have rented a car 2 years ago. And we keep bringing up this name, and I hope it really just sticks with all the listeners. We keep talking about Courtland Sutton, his teammate. Courtland Sutton was the only show in town to come into the season. He was worth a second. He's been balling out. He's worth a second. Going into next year, he'll be worth a second. If that's it, that, and if everyone's gone, isn't that just the project? Isn't that Vele's 99th percentile outcome? That he just finishes strong, is the wide receiver one projected next year, goes into the year as such. It's a second round the whole way through.
Right.
He'll never go up to a first round value.
Darnell Mooney's still smashing, and I bet you can still find somebody who will sell Darnell Mooney to you for a second.
I sold Darnell Mooney in a league where I wasn't using him for a second and a third.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that? Do that instead. I don't get it. We do have a warp on Devon Bailey, which I didn't think we'd have. But there is 2 weeks where he did meet some thresholds to get started. 193rd player. comfortably behind Colby Parkinson and just in front of Jaleel McLaughlin.
Good old Jaleel McLaughlin.
Colby Parkinson, who has ceded this job to whatever tight end that they decide that they want to use or not use, or who gives a shit, we're just throwing to Puka.
Yeah.
And Cooper Kupp, and you can fuck off. And Jaleel McLaughlin, who I think if you added up his total carries over like the last 3 weeks, it is the most bipolar thing you'll ever see. Sometimes we're going to give him 10, sometimes you get none. we don't know how to use it. We just do whatever. So that's where Devon Vele ranks, Maddie. That's what you're paying a second for. I can give you quite a few players up here that are given better A-warp. A-warp right now than Devon Vele, and they only cost a second. You know, like, no Fant.
That's
Adam. Wild. Adam, better thank me. I work Noah Fant into any podcast I could possibly do.
Yeah.
No offense. It's obligatory. You owe me $5.
With your Brock Bowers talk. I saw that.
Brock Bowers trade talk shows.
Shout out to the Dynasty Trade Shows. Check that out every Saturday on the YouTube channel.
Boom. You're a plug-in machine. You know that?
Oh, baby. Pause.
Plug-in machine. Maddie, Devon Vele. We talked about him way too much. You got anything else for the people before we get out of here? They're probably fucking tired of us. I would.
No, but I think the topic was Devon Vele, but the true essence of the episode was the pitfalls and not falling for him. And this week it's Devon Vele. Next week it might be somebody else. It's just a matter of just kind of taking a step back, not losing the forest behind the tree, and just making sure what the price is and not getting over your skis, not getting too excited about a player because he's been okay. And also this, stop trying to make fetch happen.
Ooh.
Okay. Puka Nacua happened last year. You ain't getting another Puka Nacua. It ain't Devon Vele just because he's an older guy, wasn't that athletic, found the right spot, pop. No, Puka Nacua had 1,400 yards last year. Okay. It's not happening. Stop trying to make fetch happen. Okay. And I think we just see a lot of that now where everyone wants this guy to be last year's that guy. And it's never this case. And you're paying too much by doing that type of connection. It's just not the right process.
Man, I wish I could come up with a good, like, theme song for Mean Girls, since you just dropped that awesome one, you know, to put as the outro, but I can't think of one, and I don't really think there was a great one.
You got to do Kiss by a Rose or Fly Like an Eagle.
I'm going Kiss by a Rose.
Yeah,
right.
Baby.
Yeah, we got to put some Seal on there, since that's how we started. Seal will be the outro song. It's official. But Mean Girls, you got me there. I was like, if they had a good one, if they had like one song in Mean Girls that, like, anything, you know, the banger. Right. I thought maybe the Christmas one, you know, where they're all dancing like little Santa Clauses in there. No, can't do
it. You have to post a video of that one somewhere.
Yeah, but can't do that. Ooh, Milkshake by Kellis or Kelly's or whatever her name was.
You know, was that one that is in the show?
My That's milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Yeah. Like the mom singing it, you know. Like, you don't have to worry about me. I'm the cool mom. You guys want some margaritas?
That was straight up Leslie Knope. Like, that was Amy Poehler just in that role. Yeah, loaded movie. Great movie. Hilarious movie.
The dog, like, biting on the fake boobs. It's weird. So weird. No, I think we hit it pretty hard. Dynasty pitfalls, not just Devon Vele. Talked about Dontavian Wicks. You brought up Alan Lazard. Isaiah Hodgins sticks in mind. There's probably 50 others that I can't think of at this time because we just kind of wrote them off. Travis Fulgham. Oh, fuck. Yep. Can't forget Eagles legend, Travis Fulgham.
Yeah.
Eagles legend. This is the kind of shit that gets you into trouble. Don't do it. Avoid it. Whether you're a contender, whether you're a rebuilder, look elsewhere. Look for something a little bit better producing, sexier in dynasty value, or has much bigger upside. And definitely isn't the Bert Kreischer of the NFL going to college for 8 years. I got to find out. After this episode, I'm looking up what the fuck went on that Vele was in college that long. Ain't there a dude at Miami at like tight end who's also been in college for like 8 years? McCormick
he's,
or whatever.
He's Devon Bailey's age right now.
Jesus Christ.
But he just medical redshirt. They might have fallen into the BYU mission category.
How long
potentially.
Was he on a mission?
I don't know.
Was it to Mars? Wanna... Jesus.
Possibly. I don't want to talk about sensitive subjects because, you know, I don't know much about the Mormon religion. But I do know like there are cases where people take a mission to Mars and come back and be a 27-year-old rookie.
Oh man. And maybe got left up there like Matt Damon in The Martian, you know.
Another great nickname for him though. The Martian Machine Vailey. I mean, we're gonna make this guy a first round talent based on the nicknames we give him.
We tried with Antoine Pierce. It hasn't worked yet. Took his name
to
back.
Some it has. I use Antoine Pierce routinely, and my buddies go, "Who?" I'm like, "Antoine Pierce."
Oh, love it. All right. Seal, Kiss from a Rose, loaded up. Let's get the fuck out of here. We love everybody. Make sure you're checking out everything South Harmon's got going on. YouTube page, podcast feed. Like, rate, and review. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think. We appreciate y'all. We'll see y'all back here same time, same place next week for the 4D Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. Hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving week. Maddie, to you and yours as well. Hope you have a great one, buddy. We're out of this thing. Peace.
Have Thanksgiving, buddy. Baby, I can bring you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get, I feel stranger. A man can tell you so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain, baby. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a light, and the light that you shine can't be seen. Baby, I can pay you to a kiss from a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels, yeah. Now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grave. So much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. To me you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a large, and the light that you shine can't be seen.